Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane King.
All right, so a brand new educational sex show is coming. Yeah, sex show. An educational show about sex is perhaps a better way of putting it. It's not a sex show. It's coming to our TV screens this week. It's called Eighty Slap Camera and it's airing on VIA, DSTV channel 147. How was that Afrikaans for all the Afrikaans speakers? Not too shabby, SJ. Thank you very much indeed. It promises to remove the stigma and shame from conversations about sex. Yes, please. Much needed. We need to do this in this country. It's hosted by respected sexologist and therapist, Dr. Elna Rudolph. Alongside her, a discussion panel, Audrey Vivier. Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
beautiful. actress Bianca LaGrange. I'm never quite sure if it's LaGrange or LaGrange.
LaGrange.
It is LaGrange. It is the beautiful and talented Bianca. And presenter Niels van Jaarsveld. To tell us more this morning, I'm delighted to say that we've got Dr. Elna Rudolph on the Zoom and in studio, live in front of us, we've got Audrey Vivier. Welcome, welcome, welcome to you both.
Thank you, thank you. Privileged to be here.
Elna, have we got you? Can you hear us all right?
Hi, SJ, yes. I'm connecting to you from Aalborg in Denmark.
Yes, I saw so on your Instagram. I've been stalking you on Instagram. I know that you're doing all of the things over there in Denmark. Listen, it's wonderful to have you. I'm going to start with you, Elna, if I may. Why do we need a programme like this in South Africa?
You know, look, it's fun and educational, but I think the most important thing is if you don't talk about sex, really bad things can happen, like children being abused and it not being addressed, for instance. You know, if it's unspeakable, if a child's genitalia is touched, for instance, then it's often not acted upon and that child remains in that abusive environment. Or if a woman is in an environment where there's gender-based violence, for instance, but it is not something that you should talk about, the silence keeps people, puts them in danger and then keeps them in danger. So, you know, it is about fun things like how can you enhance things in the bedroom, but it is very much also about really serious matters that we need to have open discussions about.
I think that's so important. I should just say, folks, that obviously this conversation, we are going to be talking, it is a show about sex. So just if you are, just be aware that we might be talking about some sensitive content. If you've got younger people or yourself, maybe just rejoin us again in about 20 minutes time. It's so interesting that you say that, Elna, about, you know, bad things can happen. And I think so often the argument around not having these conversations is we're making our children grow up too young and we don't want to expose them. But actually, as you've just said, quite the opposite can happen. And when I had my daughter, the advice that I was given from people like you, specifically our very own Dr. Eve, was you need to make sure that you as a person and your home is a space where your daughter can come to you and not feel that she has to keep things from you. And that's why it's important that you have these open discussions. And, you know, it's difficult. I come from a generation where sex education at my school was biological. It happened in an afternoon. The girls and the boys were separated. The boys went off to go and, you know, put condoms on bananas and the girls were told about periods. And that was it. That was our sex education. There was nothing to do with consent. There was nothing to do with naming your genitals in the appropriate way and the importance of doing that. So actually, I was coming from a position of I felt quite uncomfortable having to say to my daughter, and that's your vagina and that's your vulva. But I appreciate, because I listen to people like you, that to have that language is really a tool that she can use to protect herself, right?
Absolutely. Yes, there's lots of research about it. Ample research to show that the more young people know, especially girls, about sexuality, the better they can protect themselves. The notion that informing children about sexuality is dangerous and that it puts them at risk and it's going to make them so-called promiscuous has been refuted by research over and over and over again. So it is absolutely protective to give them information. And I mean, you know, I have a master's degree in sexual health. Even in my master's degree, we didn't talk about positions and about enhancing pleasure. That's not what you talk to children about when you do sex education. It's very age appropriate. You talk
Absolutely.
Much more about consent and negotiating what you feel comfortable with and keeping safe and those kind of things is what you talk about, you know. And I mean, periods and condoms come up in the conversation at some point, but it's much more about giving them life skills
Absolutely.
Than about talking about pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Audrey, I want to go to you now. Why did you want to be involved in the show?
It was not so much being wanting to be involved as getting this wonderful call to ask whether I want to be involved in the show. Yes, I really thought about it, and then I just thought, I always want to experience new things, learn more things. Even though I had four children, you are never too old to learn
For sure.
new things. And I did. I mean, with somebody like Elna leading the way, it was just incredible hearing new things, talking about new things, and being in an environment that we could just really answer questions of everything, of the totality.
Mm.
It was a beautiful experience.
Talk to us about the format of the show.
Yes. So we were in a studio and they did it beautiful. Pop Productions actually made this pretty incredible boudoir. And we all had a round, very comfortable chair to sit on with lots of lovely posters and some objects standing around there, interesting lights. So and we just talked about questions that came in. The whole format was like three sort of themes running around, first of all, the medical side, and Elna is an absolute living encyclopedia. And then it was secondly about the educational side of sex, and then from within the bedroom, you know, the personal stuff, all those personal questions that we had to answer.
Yeah.
And that was it. So we got these questions from the public, and then each of us has got to say a little bit or ask questions if we didn't understand it. And it was just beautiful to have this, you know, the four of us are so different. Niels being there for the to represent the men, and Bianca there from a beautiful, outspoken artist way. And then I think I represented the older generation. Yeah.
Elna, I want to ask you, when we talk about sex, there is, as I said, there is often this stigma and shame. Do you think that we are, I mean, the very fact that a show like this can air, you know, and it's in Afrikaans, right?
Yes.
Which is so great, because
yes.
historically the very conservative Afrikaans, and there was a show which we featured on this show a few months ago called Sex in Afrikaans, which was fascinating. Might not have been everybody's cup of tea, but I thought it was extraordinary.
Yeah.
The fact that we're now seeing these, I'm with you, Elna. I think that conversation is where it's at. To keep things hidden away and, you know, in the bedroom, as it were, isn't really helpful for anybody. So were you surprised that we're seeing this sort of this new generation, this new acceptability of something that essentially we're either all doing, we're all thinking about it, or we're all choosing not to do it, but it's an everyday part of most people's lives?
Yes, you know, everybody is curious about it. On some level, some extremely, but you know, you go through certain phases in your life. For instance, when you meet a new partner, there's certain requirements there and certain uncertainties. When you fall pregnant, when you go into menopause, when a guy gets older and loses his erections, there is always things that can happen to you as a sexual being that you might have questions about. And Audrey can tell you the questions we answered was about things like thrush and about a partner cheating, and you know, it's everyday things. So I've saw because Minky van der Westhuizen and I are good friends, and she invited me onto her show for a 3-minute insert into her show. And it was very popular. People complained because Minky's show is aired at 10 o'clock on a Sunday, for instance.
Yeah.
So they didn't feel that it fit within the family context, and the insert was cancelled after we did like 60 episodes.
Sure.
But then I felt in my heart that I think that Via is probably setting up something so that we can do something more comprehensive, because you won't believe, you know, I walk in, we lived in Kakamas now for 2 years, and I walk in Uppington in the shopping center, and everybody greets me as if they know me, like my children go to school with their children or something like that, in a familiar way, because they feel they can trust me now, because they know that I can address their concerns from a value-based perspective. And obviously we're inclusive and completely non-judgmental, but there's still a relatability, you know, because we look at these things always from a acceptance and an academic lens, and just give information for people to empower them to make better decisions. So I knew that it was sitting well within the Afrikaans community, but VR is also translating this into English.
Good.
So there's subtitles, you know, so people who are not Afrikaans speaking will also be able to relate with it and learn from it. And really, it's fun. I mean, I know I'm now in my, I'm here at the World Association for Sexual Health, you know, in that perspective. So I'm in my academic mode, but it was so much fun. Just hearing Audrey's voice now is giving me goosebumps again, because we laughed and we, you know, and not laughed like made it cheap and under the belt kind of conversations. Obviously, there were very funny things, you know, Niels was, and Bianca and Audrey. Oh, just, I had so much fun recording this. So I think people will enjoy it.
If you're just joining us, it's 19 minutes past 8 o'clock. We are joined by two of the stars of a brand new educational sex show, which is coming to our TV screens this week. It's called Eight Die Slaapkamer, and it's airing on VIA, DSTV channel 147. From this Wednesday, 9 o'clock, you'll be able to tune in. And as you just heard Elna say, the show for the likes of me will have English subtitles. I couldn't. My Afrikaans is not going to get me through a half an hour or an hour. Definitely not. Not at this stage. Ask me in 5 years' time. It'll also be available on Catch Up and on the DSTV app. Audrey, from your point of view, and you said that you perhaps represent the older, the older viewer. Do you think that's also another sort of stigma, is that we tend to write off older people when it comes to conversations around sex? I don't even know what the age would be these days, but I mean, I you know, people I remember having conversations when I was a teenager saying, "Oh God, I really hope my parents don't still have sex." Yes. You know, they were like 40s or 50s. But do you think that there is, that you do tend to, once you hit a certain age, you're no longer involved in the conversations, because people refuse to see older people or people above a certain age as sexual beings?
Absolutely. No, I really think you hit it the spot on the right angle. But I think you can't take sex away from a person. It's your whole life, and it's a life force until the day you die. And I think it can be such an important life force, even after what age, because it needn't be the act. I'm always saying sex is not just the act. It's not, that's the last part of everything. It's who you are. Sex is part of you. And I think that will be part of you until the day you actually go to your grave. Mm. So it's so important that we actually recognize that older people can also still have their sex conversation, and they can also have sex in whatever way it needs to be, because it's all about intimacy, and it's all about togetherness, and it's all about playfulness. It's all about, there's so much sensuality built into sex. And I think the more older people are actually just recognizing that also, and not shying away from that, because your body changes, and your body, you go through new interesting things that happens. But if
the post-40 sex life is a whole other conversation.
So, and we talked a lot about that on the show also, for people, how can we actually go on with that? And how can we actually revive it again? In what ways? Because there are so many ways in which you can just honor your body and that side of you. And if it's not there, get some help. Talk about
it. That's interesting.
Ask other people. And up to now, even older people, we don't talk about it. People don't talk about it. It's something that's behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So that is fantastic that we can actually say it's not just for the young, the teenagers, because those are the areas that we always focus on.
For sure.
Yeah. And we're always nervous about that. But it's actually an ongoing conversation. Up till the day that you literally put your head down and you say goodbye to this world. And I think we should all really, and I've said it again, honour that. Honour that life force in you.
I think that's such an interesting point that you've raised there about how we view sex in different age groups. And Elna, I want to bring you in here because I think that's such a good point. When we're talking about young people and teenagers, it's the total fear, pregnancy and STDs and all of that, and protecting them. And so those are fear-based conversations. Then you kind of get into your 20s and 30s and you're meant to be performing like a porn star. And if you're not, then there's something wrong with you. And what are the best positions of the, and actually we had a conversation on this show about a year ago with three people in their 30s who chose to be celibate because that was their choice. And then you get to the sort of people perhaps 40 plus, 50 plus, who just get completely written out of the conversation. Is there a way, Elna, and perhaps this is what this show is for, that we can really start addressing those groups of age groups of people and people's different sexual preferences and sexualities in a more... in a kinder way, in a less fearful way, in a less prescriptive way, perhaps. Elna?
Yes, I think it is about information and about not putting people in boxes, you know, because some people are having the best sex of their lives after menopause or, later in life because of various reasons. And what I found interesting was that Bianca and Ade and Niels were so surprised every time a question was asked and there was a solution. For every single concern, there is a solution. So, for instance, a 70-year-old who has a partner that's 60 and the 70-year-old is no longer interested and doesn't perform, but the 60-year-old partner is still interested in sex, there's a solution. What would be the best solution for that particular couple? I'm not 100% sure. You know, it might be that the one might masturbate, or it might be that they do have non-penetrative sex, or it might be medication to get the other person to be able to have sex when now and then if it's necessary, whatever the solution is. There's always an answer for a person's challenges, and professional help is available. In South Africa, we now have amazing people that have great education in sexual health. You no longer need to resort to like that person that's interested in porn and now profess to be a sexologist. You know, we've got great well-trained people. So you can get professional help, but also there's lots of information out there now. This show is one of it. I don't think people have to have that much. There isn't that much uncertainty about it anymore, which helps a lot because, you know, unknown things gives you, it causes anxiety that's unnecessary. So I think we're getting there.
Audrey mentioned just now that, you know, sex as being this life force. And I think perhaps we, for whatever reason, we don't see it as that. Do we? We see it as this sort of this add-on to our lives that, again, exists within a certain demographic, whatever that might look like. I just wonder the impact of that, the impact of not seeing it as a healthy part of our lives. And I suppose, again, it comes back to the shame. And as you said at the beginning, you know, bad things happen when we don't talk about sex. And also, bad things happen. The marriage of sex and shame can be a very, very toxic one, can't it?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's also a risk of yesterday at the Congress, I was talking about pleasure. At the World Association for Sexual Health, we have a declaration on sexual pleasure, and it's actually an extremely important political tool, and we do use it in sex education, etc. But I had to come out as heterosexual, monogamous, vanilla, and you know, because there's a bunch of sexologists here, so it's and I made a point there that, you know, if you just a 60-year-old woman and you've never used a vibrator in your life and you don't see sex as an amazing life force, you just do it now and then because you might get a bit of pleasure out of it, or you do it to maintain a relationship, but it works for you. Cool, you know, there's no judgment in that, but the media portrays sex to be this almost unattainable kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we actually want to take away from that. We want to say, but let it be for you what you need it to be. And I don't think it's in anybody's interest to have rigid ideas about, you know, how they can attain pleasure and about anything. You know, you should also always be a bit open-minded. And with that, I don't mean change your value system or anything.
Sure.
But, you know, there's lots of opportunities for improvement if that's what you're looking for. So, yes, you know, the show is not about making people feel guilty or creating shame around a lack of performance or a lack of desire or a lack of anything, but about finding solutions if it causes distress. If you're not distressed, I think you'll still be entertained. I really think you'll be entertained. But, you know, if you're not stressed by something, please don't let the media or anybody put pressure on you to think that, you know, you need to reach a certain kind of standard or something. That's nonsense.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's a beautiful point. The show starts this Wednesday, 6th of July. It's on VIA, which is DSTV channel 147, at 9 o'clock. It's called Aithi Slap Kamara. And absolutely thrilled to have two of the stars of the show, Dr. Elna Rudolph and also Azri Vivia, joining us this morning to talk about it. Thank you so much, both. This has been such a great conversation. I do hope that it has huge success. I think it's so important that we are having these conversations, that we talk about our pleasure is nothing to be ashamed of. We're allowed to feel pleasure. Sex is nothing to feel ashamed about. We're allowed to have sex or not, if that's what you want to do. Aithi Slap Kamara starting this coming Wednesday, 9 o'clock, channel 147 via DSTV.